Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Whether you're looking to start a career with no student loans or change careers to land one of the happiest jobs in the world, yep, that's construction, Build Mississippi can help. Visit buildmississippi.com to learn why a career in the trades deserves another look. buildmississippi.com. Your future is waiting.
Listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, welcome in everybody on this Tuesday night to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here. We're talking transfer portal tonight. Ole Miss got a pair of weapons on offense today. There's a bunch of visitors and all that stuff as well. And a defensive player who I was not familiar with at all as a target or anything until it was announced that he signed or committed to Ole Miss. So we'll talk about that. Also, basketball. Basketball is wrapping up right now. So just some quick thoughts on that. And then we'll get to your comments on this edition of the Rebel Report. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Follow me Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. At Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. Of course, if you're watching, don't forget to like, subscribe, and all that good stuff. If you have not subscribed to the podcast, you should. Search Rebel Report wherever you get them and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And also, this edition of the podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. He's in Fulton, but he can service you anywhere. If you are a small business owner and you need legal advice, if you're a small business owner and you just want to know where to go in case that day may come where you need some legal help with your small business, 662-397-9799 is the phone number. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today, the Gregory Law Firm, presenting the Rebel Report for all of your personal injury. Forgot to mention that. Personal injury. If you've been personally injured, don't wait another second. Wake up in the morning and call him. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm. Personal injury, small business, and contract disputes. Won't spend much time on this because what is the point? It is a directional school game on a Tuesday night in the middle of December. Ole Miss right now leading Southern by 19. It got squirrely there at the beginning of the second half. Ole Miss took a 9-point lead into the half. Southern went on an 8-0 run, and then Ole Miss kind of exploded from there. Very little to say about games like this. Look, they're taking care of business. The net is in really good shape. They've just got to get to Memphis right unscathed and then get to conference play unscathed. They can afford a loss to Memphis, right? But otherwise, the schedule just breeds itself to have games like this where it's, you know, just win, just get through it, win the game, take your shot against Memphis, and then conference play is here. And it looks like they're doing just that. What I like about this team, though, is how balanced their scoring options are. Still no Matt Morrell, understandably so. Still no Matt Morrell. I think you're going to see him next when they do play Memphis next Saturday, so a week from Saturday, and maybe not before then. Maybe they, you know, play him a few minutes to get his feet back under him, but they don't need him until then, or at least they shouldn't. But Sean Padula, their leading scorer, kind of had a rough night. He was absolute money from three last time out. Tonight, not so much. Only one of seven from three, but you had Murray and Davis kind of carry the load. Brakefield was good off the bench. He got to the free throw line nine times, made seven of them. So, again, I mean, to be honest with you, I couldn't watch every dribble. I had to make sure my son was fed and bathed and in bed. So, in between all of those things, I was able to catch some of the game. And quite frankly, it's really just win and move on. It's Southern. But they took care of business. There's 3 minutes left, 2 minutes left now. They took care of business. That's all they need to do. Do that and move on. On the football front, Ole Miss got a trio of portal pickups today. I know there are other visitors as well, but like I told you guys before, really going to focus on who they get first as opposed to who is visiting. It's just easier that way. The first one was actually last night. Kwon Lacy, the Missouri running back, hit the portal and very quickly committed to Ole Miss. Wasn't that long in the portal before he changed his mind, or not changed his mind, but made up his mind, I should say. He was a four-star in last year's recruiting class. You guys are familiar with him if you follow recruiting. He was somebody that was down to Ole Miss and Missouri at the end. There was some drama. There was some contention with that recruitment, and he ends up going to Ole Miss anyway. So it's a guy that they wanted. Clearly, after a year, they still value him as a player because they wouldn't take him if they didn't. I know he only ran for 100 yards at Missouri, but there's clearly something that they still like in that to the point where they wanted to go after him and get him. I don't think they're done at running back. In fact, it's fairly I was combining fairly and very. It is fairly obvious that they are targeting multiple running backs besides this one with Lacy. I mean, Justice Haynes apparently was on campus, maybe even as late as today, was definitely on campus recently. I'm sure they're going to be in the game with a couple of others as well if, for whatever reason, Justice Haynes does not work out and they can't get him. Have not seen any movement one way or the other there, but definitely something I assume that they're working really hard to get. So they need running backs, they need wide receivers, and that is the next one. So, again, Missouri running back Kwon Lacy, a four-star in last year's class, is off to Ole Miss, as is DeJon Stribling, the wide receiver from Oklahoma State. Put up really good numbers this year. We had a couple people text on the radio show. They were like, man, that I love that receiver despite his numbers. And I understand what they're saying. Oklahoma State was a bad team. They had bad quarterback play, but his numbers are still good in spite of that. He's 6'2". He's more of an outside receiver, and he can fly. You put on the tape, quote unquote. I hate when people like me say I watched the tape. I didn't watch tape. I watched his highlights on YouTube. Clearly can run. Clearly productive. Is experienced at this level, obviously. And I really like that pickup for Ole Miss. He checks every box. He's experienced. He's productive. He's fast. He fills a role that's missing. Check, 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 check. You really like that pickup. And look, I know that Dane Key is off to Georgia and Singleton may be going somewhere else too. You're not going to bat 1,000 in portal recruiting. You have got to, as many people have talked about, you have got to stick to your guns on how you want to allocate your money and what you think a player is worth. And if you can get a guy like this for cheaper than a couple of your other receiver options and it's this kind of a player, then it's a home run. I don't know if that's actually what happened, but I do have a feeling that Stribling did come cheaper than Key. Again, I could be wrong. I don't know that for sure. It sounds like that is the case. And when you look at him and watch him play, he's 6'2". He can fly. He played for a bad quarterback on a bad team and was still a productive player. So that is a really, really good pickup. And finally, this one kind of came out of nowhere. In fact, you didn't even get a Pete Golding shark on this one. So I am a little, not perplexed, but I am a little curious as to how this one came about. Auburn defensive back Antonio Kite is off to Ole Miss, played sparingly this year, was a four-star a couple of recruiting classes ago. Apparently, if you believe Auburn people, there was some trouble. Some are even suggesting that he got kicked off the team. I don't know that to be true because I heard this name for the first time literally an hour ago or maybe even less than that. Again, didn't see a Golding shark. Was at Alabama, I think, and then Auburn. I don't know. Frankly, not a productive player at all. Maybe they like his upside. I know they need depth there for sure in the secondary. And, he has been on an SEC team, and maybe they've seen enough to where they think that he can come in and help them to some degree. Only played in 4 games last year. I don't know. Simply put, I don't know. I know that they have bigger targets in the secondary than this one. I know that. But there's really nothing that Pete Golding can do at the moment that I will question. I am very much not a trust the coaches guy. In fact, I think anybody saying, well, just trust the coaches is being a little foolish. And here I am being a trust the coaches guy. If Pete Golding thinks that he's good enough to play in his secondary, then who am I to question after what we've seen from Pete Golding so far at Ole Miss? So we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Oh, by the way, I forgot. Lane Kiffin spoke to the media today. It's a very basic, generic press conference. So far, still only one opt-out, and that's Chris Paul. Walter Nolan going to play. Princely going to play. Pegues came up to the podium, said he was going to play. We already know about Ivy. I assume when he said there's only one opt-out that he was not thinking about Trey Harris, who I don't expect to play because of injury. But only one opt-out for Ole Miss in this game. I understand the contracts. I get it. We've talked about it before. I keep putting this qualifier on it. I know that the Grove Collective contracts are backloaded. But the fact that there is even a scenario in which Walter Nolan and Princely and all of these guys, Pegues, everybody, with the exception of Chris Paul, are going to play in the bowl game, regardless of the reason why, I think is a cool thing. And I'm glad to see it. I think the opt-outs for bowl games, I wish it wasn't a thing. I understand why it is. I kind of straddled the fence on that whole phenomenon. But I do like that Ole Miss is going to have basically full strength, even though a lot of them are going to be on what I assume are pitch counts. But still, the fact that they're suiting up and playing, I think is a cool thing. Other people don't. I think it's a cool thing. And I like to see it. I'm glad to see it. Good on Ole Miss and all of these players and the Grove Collective for creating a scenario in which the players are still going to play in what is described as a meaningless bowl game. I like it. And for you, the fans that are going to go make the trip, I think you deserve to go see the guys that you, a lot of you paid for, suit up in an Ole Miss uniform one more time. So anyway, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, whether it's copiers and printers and mail machines or cloud storage, data security, IT projects, whatever it is. If it's technology, if it's in the office and your Mississippi business needs it, absms.com. Podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. First comment, I heard the sport of college football was rightfully fixed when Mbakwe, right, decided to stay at Alabama. Surely no one said anything nasty last night. Man, I am so over the complaining. I really am. I'm so over the complaining about college football. Just don't watch anymore. That's where I am with the complaint. I'm not going to field text on the radio show anymore. Oh, this is awful. I'm out. Okay, then be out. If you're out, then be out. If you're still texting a sports radio show, then clearly you're not out. So either leave, don't watch college football anymore, put your money where your mouth is, and don't consume the product anymore, or just ignore the stuff that you don't like and watch the games when they come on. But the constant complaining and complaining is just, it's exhausting. The games themselves on the field, the football games were unchanged. This season was compelling. There was parity. There's a 12-team playoff, and I have no idea who's going to win. Arizona State has a bye. What a great story they are. So does Boise State. I don't think the playoff format's actually a particularly good one, but look at the slate of games this weekend. There's big brands. There's weather. There's compelling storylines. The season was great. Shut up. I hate to be like that. I hate being that guy, but man, I'm just so tired of it. If you are out, I had a guy in my Twitter mentions today. Then don't follow me anymore. Just leave. Consume something else. Find something else to appreciate. But 4 years of bickering about how awful this is has gotten nobody anywhere. So consume it or don't. But stop telling me that you don't when you clearly do. I'm over it. I'm so over it. Any financial advice after your investment in Fartcoin today, Borky? Yeah, I saw that. I didn't know Fartcoin was a thing until No Laying Up pointed it out. And my son's entire college fund has been put on Fartcoin. All of it. Really like the receiver pickup for Ole Miss. That feels like just a really good, solid transfer portal pickup. Just really good. With a really high floor. You know what I mean? Really high floor. You know what he can do at the P4 level. Really productive through bad quarterback play. Can run, but he's not small. 6'2", 200. You know, that's not a small receiver. think Kiffin comes back and proves all of us wrong, and the offense is explosive next season. I am two things. I can have two thoughts at the same time, even though they're conflicting. I will believe it when I see it, because to this point, and I understand why, there have not been any tangible changes. And if anybody can reignite an offense and make it explosive again, it's Lane Kiffin. Heard Ole Miss is the only school in the country that tampers. Isn't that funny? It's the same people that point fingers at Mississippi and call it poor and dumb are also the same people that say that Ole Miss is wealthy beyond measure and are cheating in ways that they can't get caught and have so much money, and that's how they're getting players. So Mississippi, a poor state and a dumb state, and who would want to live there? Also Mississippi, so abundantly wealthy that Ole Miss is able to do whatever they want and get whoever they want because they have so much money that even Alabama can't keep up anymore. I mean, college football's greatest achievement was convincing people that it was pure. It wasn't pure. It's never been pure. But people were convinced that it was. Fans of LSU and Alabama believe that they won championships off the back of hard work and pride for their institution. That's what they believe. That's what Alabama fans clearly believe, is that it was built off of that. And quite frankly, I think without Hugh Freeze's NCAA investigation, Ole Miss fans would have had a harder time buying into NIL. We've talked about this before. I think there is no doubt that the NCAA investigation in the Hugh Freeze era, I know how dumb all of it was and how poorly he and others handled it. But that exposed what college football really was to Ole Miss fans. It did. And so you bought right away into the concept of portal and NIL, because you got to witness firsthand the dirty underbelly of college football. Not every fan base got to experience that. So they got to believe that the players went there because they just loved the tradition and all the other crap that people spoon-fed them about how these big-time programs were able to get all these five stars. And now you're seeing the harsh reality hit some of these people. Apparently, yeah, they also spend $1 million on a backup DB that is All-America level after staying at Alabama. Yeah. So cool to see how much Dart loves the program. Whoever said transfer portal guys don't care is dumb. Some of them do. Chris Paul, Nolan Princely, Harris Watkins, and others are clearly all care, clearly. Yeah. Yeah. Transfer portal players can care about their institution. Chris Paul is a perfect example because he's a one-year rental, right? What do you think is going to happen when Chris Paul comes back 5 years from now when his NFL team's on a bye week and they announce his name in the stadium? He played 7 games in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. That's all he did. 7 games. That's all he played. What do you think the reception's going to be for him when he comes back? A school can fall in love with a player, and a player can fall in love with a school in 1 year. You don't need 3 years to have that kind of relationship. Their portal approach continues to look very efficient. I think some other schools are throwing more money at tons of players for multiple reasons, like Auburn. And I don't blame them. They're desperate. They need to win. They need to win now. They can't mess around. Auburn can't afford to be efficient. They have to do whatever it takes to get players. They have to be desperate. I understand that. He was demoted at Auburn, then missed several practices and was let go. I don't know that to be true. I'll take your word for it. I just do not know that to be accurate or not. Talking about the new portal pickup, by the way, the defensive back. I don't know one way or the other. If transfer portal went away tomorrow and all the money for Ole Miss went to recruiting, could they have a top 10 class? They were 4 spots away from it already. Yes, they could. Yes, they absolutely could. Just want to know if Lane chooses to do portal instead of recruiting, or if they just don't have a recruiting advantage. They do it for multiple reasons. I think most especially, though, they've found their niche. This works for them for multiple reasons. I think it's easier for Lane Kiffin to appeal to portal players. It's more transactional. It's more, here's how you fit on my team. Here's how much I can pay you. As opposed to spending 3 years flirting with the entire family and pretending to make friends with their cousins and girlfriends and stuff just for them to spurn you on or burn you on signing day anyway. That this is just portal recruiting fits Ole Miss and specifically Lane Kiffin more than doing nothing but high school. Alabama fans crying about money and recruiting is some of the most rich stuff you've seen. I know, man. I'm telling you, that's college football's greatest accomplishment is convincing people that it was pure. It's the best thing the sport ever did. Off topic, but with Northern Illinois joining the Mountain West, it made you think about realignment. Could I see the SEC gaining more schools like North Carolina or Virginia? It's a good question. It all comes down to money. I know that the SEC would love to add North Carolina immediately. They would love to. North Carolina can't get out of the ACC right now. I think, quite frankly, that's the only thing preventing North Carolina from being involved in a bidding war between the Big Ten and the SEC. And maybe Virginia would come with them. The question is how much and how far. The concept of a breakaway in college football, and gosh, what was it, Boise State's athletic director? I think it was Boise State's AD that said that that's coming or that he expects it. I think it was him. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm misattributing a quote. But a lot of people think that day is coming. How many teams are worth bringing along with you, right? Because I've seen these models of like, here's a 70-team power conference league. That's too many. The networks, I don't think, would pay for that. Maybe I'm wrong. I just don't think they would. Realignment is all about money and how much money they can make. So if Disney says we'll increase the pot by this much for every team, then they're going to expand. Hey, you add North Carolina, well, that means an extra $5 million for everybody in the SEC. Great, do it. But if Disney is not going to increase the payout for each school with additions, then you're not going to see additions. It's that simple. It's all about money. Everything is driven by money and money only. North Carolina would bring in more money, but they can't get out of the ACC right now. The freeze mess that basically enveloped the Matt Luke years to galvanize the fan base 100%. 100%. Watching Memphis and West Virginia play right now, it just feels like Memphis and Tulane should be in a bigger conference than the conference they find themselves in. But for now, as long as they have playoff access, and Edward, tell me more about that. What do you mean what they're doing? Like good or bad? I have not paid as close attention to that. But anyway, as long as they have playoff access, they're fine. They're fine. If you're Tulane, I mean, would you want to try to force your way into the Big 12? Tulane lined up across from Kansas State and played them tough, but Kansas State had more players than Tulane did. And I know it's only year one under Sumrall. I get it. But if you're Tulane, wouldn't you much rather have an AAC schedule? Doesn't that give you a much better shot at making the playoff as it's currently formatted than if they were to join the Big 12? I know there's more money, and again, money drives everything, but if I'm Tulane, I'm very happy where I am right now. What will Jackson Dart's legacy be? You'd say he's the best. No, he won't be the best. At least I don't think. That still belongs to the Mannings. But you can call him a Rushmore guy. Led Ole Miss to their first 11-win season ever. Broke all kinds of records. Was paramount in brand building for Ole Miss in the new era, right? He was a very marketable guy. He helped. His existence helped the Ole Miss brand. I know some people kind of roll their eyes at that, but it did. He was a marketable guy. Hell, man, as a starter, if they beat Duke, he's going to win, 29 games as a starter at Ole Miss in 3 years? I think you can argue that he's a Rushmore guy, but no, he won't have a Manning legacy, and that's okay. You consider the moment Freeze was hired until Kiffin was hired to be the Freeze era? at least the bad that happened for Ole Miss football post Hugh Freeze is still his fault for sure. Next year's offense is looking good. It's all about line play. It is all about line play. I love the tight end room. Absolutely love the tight end room with Wright returning and has. Love that. They still need to add one more running back because we don't know yet what Logan Diggs is going to look like post-injury. But if he returns to what he was, then you've got a solid running back there. So they need to add one more there. And they need to at least add one, probably two or three more wide receivers. But you can see it shaping up. You see the potential shaping up. You see the weapons kind of assembling, right? There's a lot to like about what they currently have, but they still need to keep going, and the offensive line does need to do better. Do I think they pick up Singleton? At the moment, I would bet against it. If they could have a top five class every year, they would. Yes, they would. Do I think Simmons is as good as they say? I think his ceiling is as high as they say. I would like to see him play more than he has before I say that he is that good right now. But the ceiling is absolutely that high. The talent, the physical ability, and it's not just arm strength, right? It's not athleticism upstairs as well. He's a young guy. He's a really young guy, and the way people talk about him and his maturity is different too. Yes, I think his ceiling is that high. We got to see him play more than one series against real competition, though, before we say he's as good as they say. He can be that good. I know that's a cop-out answer, but I do believe that's the correct answer, is got to see it. Have a top three portal class, apparently, throwing tons of money around. Landed Barry and Brown, another highly rated wide receiver, picking up more guys on defense. Also, those Brian Kelly comments on giving his money. I mean, they have to, right? The roster's not good enough. That's another team that's kind of desperate right now. It's another program that's kind of desperate at the moment. It's Brian Kelly and LSU. I'm still curious if they're going to have the high-end talent on defense to be competitive nationally, because they're farther away than they want to admit. What do I think Croman Hawk does for Mississippi State in the long run, like for Lebby's time there? Oh, gosh, that's such a difficult question. It's a good question. It's a difficult one, though, because, I mean, the expectation is Blake Shapen is their starter this year. And he's got one more year of eligibility. They brought in a five-star in the recruiting class, Taylor from Noxubee County. And now you've got Croman Hawk, which is how you say that last name, by the way. I believe it's Croman Hawk. But one of the two of them is leaving after the spring next year. You're not keeping two quarterbacks with their backgrounds on your team after a competition when Shapen inevitably leaves. So who, like, which guy is that going to be? Is that going to be Taylor or is that going to be Croman Hawk? There's no way to answer that, but one of the two of them won't be on Mississippi State's team, I don't think, just kind of projecting outwards, to start the 2026 season. You're not keeping quarterbacks like that. Just not happening. With Senate hearings going on today with the NCAA, do I think changes to Title IX are for sure coming? I get it's about money, but it would be a shame to see athletes in smaller sports lose chances. My hope, and talking to Congress terrifies me, my hope is what they do is treat the money sports differently than everybody else. Treat the money sports different because they are different. And allow the lesser sports to be funded by other things like endowment, or maybe don't force investment that is unnecessary into those sports. I know that sounds bad, but do you want the sports to continue to survive or not? That's just a harsh reality. And people in my business don't want to talk about that because they think that losing $10 million a year on a non-revenue sport is like, you can't do that. You cannot on one hand say, I think the players deserve to get paid. And on the other hand say, actually, you need to spend the same amount of money on the non-revenue sports as you do on football. Those two things don't mesh. They don't make sense. It cannot work like that. You cannot treat, with all due respect, the second baseman on the softball team the same way you do the quarterback. They're not the same. And so you have to separate them. That's the only way that you can preserve the non-revenue sports. And those need to continue to exist forever. But there needs to be some adjustment in the way people think about college sports, because the non-revenue sports don't only not generate revenue, they are financial losers. You cannot treat them equal to football anymore. You can't do it now that you're sharing revenue. So I hope that they find a way to get smart about this and separate football and men's basketball from everybody else and go from there. If they don't, then you're going to lose a lot of sports and a lot of opportunities. Would be cool if Dart had a passing of the torch in the Gator Bowl, if they're up a few scores, not expecting a high-caliber effort from Duke. Absolutely. One of those moments where he gets like a hero send-off and then in comes Simmons, and you kind of pass the torch off and let him get that heroic whatever send-off goodbye thing. That would be very cool. Simmons is one of the most mature young players you've seen in a long time. A lot of people talk about that, that he's different. You hear that all the time. Just remember, every player Alabama loses didn't matter. All backups are guys that happen to suck. You hear that everywhere, right? Ah, lost this receiver? Eh, whatever. You're hearing that here locally. Lose the two best receivers on your team and, whatever. Well, that's no problem at all. They're going to Texas A&M in Missouri. Whatever. They're not even that good. They'll find more. It's not really how that goes. But anyway. Have you seen the playoff tickets for Notre Dame? Currently, the cheapest price is almost $600. Yeah. You can get to the Penn State SMU game for kind of cheap. The weather's going to be kind of stinky, which is part of it. And SMU does not drive up demand at all. At all. So that's also part of it. But I just, there's some segment of sports media that like really cares about how expensive tickets are. They're kind of like using that as a, almost like a dig at things. Like, oh, wow, look at how cheap the tickets are for Penn State. This is terrible. No, it's not terrible. It's great. It means a father and his son now can afford to go to the playoff game that probably wouldn't otherwise. It's great that tickets are under $100 on secondary markets for the Penn State SMU game. That means some little Johnny from Harrisburg or whatever and his dad that watched Penn State on TV that really want to go to a playoff game, dad got his Christmas bonus, can go take little Johnny to the football game now. I could not possibly care less that tickets are cheap for that, but some people do. It's kind of weird to me. I don't understand it. It's great that tickets are cheap for that kid. It's going to be full, completely full. The stadium's going to be absolutely nuts, and Penn State's going to win by 3 touchdowns. That's what's going to happen. Heard it here first, or something like that. So anyway, I got to run. I got some stuff that I have got to take care of. Yes, you're right. The Ohio State-Tennessee ticket situation is so funny. I hope that there's 40,000 Tennessee fans there. Oh, it's gonna crack me up. Leaking your season ticket holder code or accidentally letting your season ticket holder code get out to Tennessee fans is hilarious. It's so funny. But anyway, I got to run. We'll talk, obviously, a lot of Portal because we're just going to keep getting Portal news on Thursday. Appreciate you guys being here as always, and I will I'll see you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.